This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, August 31st, 2018. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have sunshine right now, expecting a high temperature of 85. Currently 79 degrees at O'Hare and 76 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are mixed during the noon hour. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob and Chris. The Dow lower by 76 points, or about 0.25% to 25,910. NASDAQ up 11 points to 8,100, good for a gain of about 0.1%. S&P off 6. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by almost 0.1%. U.S. and Canadian negotiators have not been able to reach an accord yet. The Canadian foreign minister may go for another round of talks this afternoon. Consumer sentiment fell by less than expected in August. The reading from the University of Michigan found a more positive outlook for the economy amid a strong job market. The Chicago Business Barometer tracked higher than expected. That showed activity expanding and new orders rising at a faster pace. And finally, Coca-Cola is digging into the coffee business, buying the British chain Costa Coffee for more than $5 billion. This is Coke's biggest acquisition in 8 years. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking about Coca-Cola's plans in the coffee market and also what's going on at Tesla.
Entrepreneur Friday, we'll talk about the booming business of hearing aids. And of course, it's the Labor Day weekend. We'll give you a gas price forecast from our gas price expert. All that and more coming up at the Noon Business Hour.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Coca-Cola has taken a giant plunge into the coffee business. We're going to talk about that in our next segment. Right now, there's been word of an effort to try to push Elon Musk out of chairman as the title of chairman of the electric car maker Tesla. Let's take a closer look with Bloomberg reporter Dana Hull in San Francisco. What's going on, Dana?
Well, so in the spring, shareholders voted on whether the role of chairman and CEO should be split. Right now, Musk is both, and they overwhelmingly passed the resolution to keep him as both by 73%. But obviously, you know, that means that roughly a quarter of the shareholders voted no, and what we're finding out now, thanks to some regulatory filings, is that BlackRock, which is the seventh largest holder in Tesla, it owns about 6.5 million shares, was one of the funds that voted for splitting the two roles. So it's just giving us a little window into, you know, how that vote actually went down. I mean, obviously, the events of the past month have been pretty tumultuous for Tesla, but the fact that he is the CEO and chairman of the company, you know, he plays a pretty vital role in both capacities.
What are the main reasons that those who want the split there, why do they want him not to be commanding the company?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. At some companies, the role of chairman and CEO is shared. At other companies, it's split. I mean, when you're doing both, you know, I think there's a perception that the board is beholden to the chairman. And you know, just as we saw with the go private deal, I mean, Musk kind of made this announcement that he was thinking of taking the company private sort of on his own. It didn't appear that the board had any consultation. And then it just got very messy very quickly in terms of the mechanics of how that might work. You know, the CEO reports to the board, but when your CEO is also the chairman of the board, it just makes it a little harder for the board to act with true independence.
This has been a year of erratic behavior on the part of Elon Musk, starting with that earnings call a couple of months ago, and then continuing through some statements that he made on Twitter, and then, of course, incidents that allegedly occurred, one that was relayed by the Wall Street Journal that took place in a plant, according to the paper. Is there any indication or any reason as to why he has been acting in such a way, or has that still been relegated to a whisper campaign?
Well, I think, you you know, it appears erratic because it's so public, and he, you know, he is a very public person. I mean, he's a celebrity, you know, basically at this point. He's, you know, he's got 22 million Twitter followers. He's very, you know, upfront about stuff. So a lot more people are paying attention to him. I mean, I think, you know, he's just operating under a lot of stress. You know, he's running not just two companies, but he's got a lot of side projects. And, you know, he feels like Tesla is under attack from people who believe the company is overvalued. And I think one of the big reasons why he wanted to take the company private was to just get out from the public eye and to not be under such constant scrutiny.
And what would it take on Elon Musk's part to kind of get the, for lack of a better word, get vultures, whatever you want to call it, all of these, to get this to stop from swirling around him? Would it have to be a year of just being on his best behavior, or would it have to make some sort of announcement?
I mean, I think, you know, the stock is really volatile because it is among the most shorted stocks, you know, on the market. I mean, Tesla and Amazon are always sort of in the top two. So, I mean, one way to reduce the volatility would be to get the large existing shareholders to buy more stock. Then you'd have less shares available to be shorted. But if he just took a break from Twitter and focused on execution and didn't kind of constantly pop off on social media, that could potentially help. But I think that, you know, I mean, the media is fascinated with Musk. You know, he can't keep quiet. There's enormous interest in everything that this company is doing because they have been so disruptive. You're now seeing every other major automaker coming out with an electric vehicle, and that's really thanks to Tesla and the sort of progress that they have made in kind of pushing forward electric vehicles into the minds of consumers. So, you know, I don't see him as someone who's going to change, though. I mean, he's 47 years old. You know, he's not likely to really change his behavior unless the stock of the company really starts tanking.
Well, the stock today is down by 299 points, and the symbol TSLA, if you want to take a look at it. Dana Hull, thanks for joining us today. Dana is a reporter at Bloomberg in San Francisco. Coming up, Coca-Cola without the fizz, why the soft drink giant is adding coffee to its empire.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Coca-Cola taking its product line beyond just fizz. The soft drink giant has announced a deal to buy the coffee maker Costa. Joining us now is Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, welcome back to the program. Coca-Cola jumping into the coffee business. How much of a dent are they going to make in the world of big caffeine?
Well, Rob, I think that they're going to make a huge dent. And keep in mind that they, for years, have been actually marketing Dunkin' Donuts beverages to supermarkets. So they've had their toe in the water. But what this really does, it doesn't put them in the coffee business. It puts them in the retail business because this chain has over 3,800 cafes, most in the U.K., growing in Asia, and it really puts Coca-Cola in a whole different business. The other thing about this deal that's so interesting is Costa has these machines, thousands and thousands of these machines that grind coffee and steam milk like a vending machine does. So that also really ties in well with Coca-Cola's vending products.
It's interesting that you mentioned Dunkin' Donuts, because there was an interesting data point that I came across this morning, and that was over the last 2 years, Starbucks stock has remained relatively consistent. Dunkin' Donuts, however, has seen phenomenal growth since the year 2016. Is that already because of their marketing partnership with Coca-Cola, or just because people are buying a lot of donuts with their coffee?
Well, it's probably the opposite. It's the fact that Dunkin' Donuts has dropped the name Donuts from their store signs. They've gotten more into sandwiches, and they're relying less and less on the donut product and more on the beverage product, which obviously has a higher margin. Keep in mind the way Dunkin' Donuts operates is it's a franchise, but all the franchisees also own a piece of the bakery. So they're not baking the donuts in the stores. They're baking in a commissary that then delivers it. So the margins there are going to be less, obviously, than they are on coffee, which is just a few cents a cup.
Has the public mood significantly changed, or the appetite, I might say, in terms of fizzy drinks in the U.S.?
Yes, Chris, there's no question. Soda sales continue to decline. People are more worried about sugar consumption than ever before. It's probably number one on everybody's watch list in the industry. How do we reduce sugar? Chobani just came out with a new yogurt called A Hint Of, which has 50% less sugars in it. So, this is a smart move on Coke. Pepsi's been diversified into snacks for years, but Coca-Cola really hasn't. I mean, they bought Vitamin Water. That was a really expensive purchase for $4 billion. This one is over $5 billion. But Vitamin Water hasn't really given them the legs that they had hoped to get into that non-soda business. This will.
Thanks so much for joining us today. As always, Phil Lempert is founder at SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. And we're going to be checking the markets when we come back. Later, we'll talk with a Chicago woman who saw a health need at home and is now offering her services throughout the area.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business, sponsored by Elmhurst BMW. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob, we are narrowly mixed, with the Dow up, make that down, 62 points or 0.25%. The NASDAQ higher by 12 points. We're at 8,100. And the S&P giving back 5 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up about 0.1%. I was going to check on the Coca-Cola, what their ticker price, how they're doing in the wake of that news. And shares of Coke are down about 1% after announcing that it's spending $5 billion to pick up British coffee chain Costa Coffee. Also, turns out Google and MasterCard cut a secret deal to track retail sales. Bloomberg has learned the alliance gave Google an unprecedented asset for measuring retail spending. Some Google advertisers could track whether the ads they ran online led to a sale at a physical store in the U.S. The companies never told the MasterCard holders of the arrangement. Crude futures looking for a weekly win, up about 2% this week, down on the day at $69.88. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Higher grain prices across the board. Corn for December up 7 at 363 and a quarter. They hit 65. Beans for November up 8 at 839 and a half, 3 off their high. And wheat for December at 546 and a quarter, up 11 and a quarter, a penny and three quarter off their high. All higher on start of the season, end of the August season, where we usually have had lows by then. So higher across the board. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk with the founder of Hearing Health Centers with multiple offices in the Chicago area.
People are already hitting the road this Labor Day weekend. What you can expect at the gasoline pump.
News we're watching. The body of John McCain now lies in state at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington.
And funeral services are underway for the singing legend Aretha Franklin in Detroit.
Market Watch, the Dow is down 77 points. The S&P 500 down 6.5, and the NASDAQ is up 5. And AccuWeather says some sunshine followed by increasing clouds, becoming more humid today, and a high of 85. It's 79 degrees in Chicago as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, let's take a look at what's moving Wall Street up and down today. Our guest, Chuck Carlson, is CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter, also author of Winning with the Dow's Losers. Chuck, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What do you see in the markets today?
I see kind of what you expect to see on kind of the last trading day of what amounts to kind of the market summer, so to speak, which is, you know, a little bit of back and forth. I caution investors not to read too much into any trading during this week, and especially on, you know, yesterday as well as today. It's just, you've got fewer participants in the market, so, you know, individual stocks and even market indexes can have some pretty good swings during the day. We'll get a much better kind of a reading when everybody gets back to their seats, so to speak, next week, and especially the week after that. So we're in kind of a a dearth of news period here. There aren't a lot in terms of earnings. A few earnings coming out, will cause some movements in those stocks, but it's kind of not much of anything. You've got the Dow peeling back a little bit after some of the strong gains that it's had, and some of the other indices just kind of vacillating plus or minus around the zero line.
Well, let's talk about the Dow theory right now and winning with the Dow's losers. So what are some areas that people might want to look into right now?
Yeah, what we're watching right now is the last index that has not gone to a significant new high is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. You had a new all-time highs in the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which is important and quite a positive given the bellwether impact or the bellwether effect that the transports usually have. That was good news. You had the S&P 500 go to new all-time highs. That was good news. You had new highs in the NASDAQ Russell 2000. Both of those new highs are good news. So, and those breakouts are coming, particularly in the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Transportation Average, came after about 7 months of sideways trading. So, that's all good stuff. The last kind of major thing that we're watching are the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which, as you know, is an important part of the Dow theory that looks at both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports. And for the Dow theory to kind of give an all clear on this market, you do need the new highs in the Dow Industrials. That new high, by the way, is around 26,616. So we're a couple of percentage points below that. But I mean, in terms of kind of being the last peg to drop in terms of kind of the bullish argument here, that's really what we're looking for, is the Dow Jones Industrial Average to kind of close above that previous high of 26,616.
As an investor, how closely should you be watching the trade negotiations between the United States, Canada, and Mexico? It sounds like there was a breakthrough with Mexico earlier this week, and if you read Bloomberg today, a couple of off-the-record comments made their way up to Canada, and there is a very good possibility that the trade talks with our neighbor to the north are going to experience a bit of a freeze.
Well, and that's probably impacting the market today, and that's going to be, if there isn't a whole lot of other news out there, and the trade stuff is going to be front and center for that daily movement. You asked me what should investors do as opposed to traders, and my argument would be they shouldn't care, quite frankly. If you're investing and you're not looking to kind of day trade the market or trade short-term swings, you should continue to be focused on those three major engines of sustained market moves, and those are corporate profits, interest rates, and inflation. The trade things are going to impact the market on an hour and day-to-day basis, and it's great if you're trying to trade stocks. It'll give you the volatility you need for kind of day trading. But if you're an investor, I don't think it should matter too much, if at all, to your investment program.
And this is the question that was asked yesterday, too. And that is, if a new NAFTA is negotiated, if it does impact the larger economy, if it has enough of a substantial difference over the previous NAFTA to impact the larger economy, when will we start to see its effects?
Probably next year, quite frankly, would be the impact in terms of the effects coming from it. Now, if what you're asking me is when will the market reflect that, the market's going to reflect that sooner than that, and the market's going to kind of bake all of that into a corporate profit story that, if there is kind of one potential chink in the corporate earnings story, and I've said this before on your show, it's really, the strong earnings that we have this year, and we're going to have them in the second half of the year, the corporate profit story is quite strong, but every strong quarter sets the hurdle higher a year from now, and if comparisons get really difficult in 2019, and corporations aren't able to beat expectations in 2019 because they've set such a high hurdle in 2018, the market's going to reflect that before we get, well into 2019. And that's the major, in my mind, the major issue that the market's going to have to face. And part of baking in that corporate profit situation, especially for certain sectors like autos, et cetera, that are impacted, by NAFTA, that will be reflected in the corporate profit story next year, and the market's going to have to kind of deal with that. To me, that's the biggest potential headwind for stocks over the next 6 to 12 months, is can they continue not in 2018, but what are 2019 profits going to be, and can they continue to beat expectations? And that's going to be challenging based on the fact that corporate profits are doing such a good job this year.
Chuck, thanks so much for joining us. Chuck Carlson is CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond, Indiana.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Her father had trouble hearing, and his struggles inspired his daughter to make life easier for him and for others. Now, not only is Dr. Rana Fisher an audiologist, she owns Hearing Health Centers with 5 offices in the Chicago area. Dr. Fisher, welcome to WBBM. Before we talk about what got you into this particular sector, let's talk about the present and future of hearing aids. A lot of people in the broadcasting business use them once they got a couple of decades behind them from all those years of listening to very loud music in their headphones. But Dr. Fisher, if you see people walking around with earbuds, do you say that's a future customer?
I do, especially if I can hear it. I yell at people all the time, "You're coming to see me." But more important is I'm on a crusade to get everybody to have a hearing test because most people haven't had one since grade school. And every study in the last 10 years show your hearing is directly related to your brain. You are 5 times more likely to get Alzheimer's, 3 times more likely to fall. And now they're saying hearing loss could be the first indicator and predictor of an impending heart attack.
And how
you can't wait.
So how has the technology of hearing aids changed over the years? I used to remember seeing the big, bulky hearing aids, and now they're smaller and wireless and virtually invisible.
And virtually invisible. And there's a new launch, in fact, today, where they're using artificial intelligence in hearing aids to track your not only your heart health and your fitness, but your brain health. It also speaks 56 languages to you in real time and predicts whether you're going to fall.
We are interested in what inspired you to study this and to open the centers. What was it that drove you?
My father didn't hear well when I was growing up from rheumatic fever. And as it got worse, I realized it didn't just affect him, it affected our whole family and everyone around him. And my parents would fight, and they stopped going out places because he was embarrassed and didn't hear well, and he missed so much of my life.
So
here I am.
How did you though, as a business person, develop all of this?
I worked for somebody initially, and he moved away, and I knew I had to continue. So even though I never wanted my own practice, I opened it. And I knew if you're excellent, the rest follows. So it's all about passion and dedication and really believing in what you do.
Well, it's nice to meet you today, and thanks for joining us and telling us a little bit about your business and the reason for it. Dr. Rana Fisher is founder of Hearing Health Centers in Chicago, and it has a pretty nice broadcast voice, too, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, she can watch out. She'll replace one of us. Millions of people coming up next. Millions of people who hit the road this Labor Day weekend, and ahead, the prices you can expect to pay at the gasoline pump.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Highways are starting to get busy with travelers this Labor Day weekend. Gasoline prices are the highest they've been in 4 years, but still well off their all-time highs. We're talking with Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Phil. It looks as if this year's gas price is about a dollar below the all-time high, or back in 2012.
So we got that going for us. So when you're filling up to this weekend, you're going to feel so much better. You're paying more than you did a year ago, but it's not an all-time high. But, you know, we're paying it for a lot of reasons. I mean, if you look out at the roads this weekend and look around you, we're going to see record demand in the Illinois area for gasoline once again. What we're going to see is that the traveling for this holiday weekend could actually exceed what we saw over the 4th of July. And that's kind of unusual. Usually you get to the last big summer driving holiday of the year and things kind of to tail off. But unusual because the economy is so strong, it's actually getting stronger as we end the year. So a lot of people really want to get out there and enjoy that last blast of summer.
So is it popular? Is it more popular now this time of year than it would be in some of the others that we typically think are the big holidays?
I think it is, and I think the reason is because people are feeling better about the economy. You know, a few years ago, you know, Labor Day was like the end of summer. It was kind of depressing because you're looking, you know, you're going back to school. You don't have as much money in your pocket. Things are doomy and gloomy, so you're not traveling as much. Now you're seeing this surge of economic optimism, the highest you've seen in years, and the demand for gasoline is through the roof. The Energy Department just last week showed the week-over-week gasoline demand at an all-time high. We're hearing from the state of Illinois, from the Tollway Association in Illinois, that they expect more drivers on the road that they've had in many, many years. So we're probably going to break a record. And so, you know, the average price in Chicago of $3.03 a gallon is pretty cheap when you can compare it to the demand side of the equation.
Very quickly, Phil, taking a look at the oil markets going beyond the Labor Day holiday weekend, are we going to see prices dip back into the gas prices dip back into the twos on a rather consistent basis in October, November, and beyond?
Well, we do think they will dip down in the twos, but whether it'll be consistent really depends on the cost of oil. Normally, once we get past the Labor Day weekend, we start burning the winter blends of gasoline. They're generally cheaper and they're going to stay low. But there are significant upside risks to the price of oil. There's a very strong possibility that when we put sanctions on Iran in November, it could drive up the cost of oil. And that means your gas prices could actually go up at a time when they normally go down. So there are some risks, but we should see a little bit of a drop after the holiday.
Thank you very much, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group and Fox News business contributor based in Chicago. Missed any part of the Noon Business Hour? We'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's turn it over to Elisa Peretti.
Chris, Wall Street doesn't look so strong today, but this has been the strongest month for the Nasdaq since January, and the Nasdaq and S&P remain close to the records they set repeatedly this week. The Dow lower by 72 points, or 0.25%. Nasdaq up 9, or 0.1%. S&P lower by 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.1%. Next week could mark a dramatic escalation in the U.S.-China trade spat, as President Trump is expected to proceed with tariffs on an additional $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.